Harper Audio presents Straight Flush, the true story of six college friends who dealt their way to a billion-dollar online poker empire and how it all came crashing down. By Ben Mesrick. Read by Sean Pratt. For my dad, who inspired me to follow my dreams, and for Arya and Asher, who make me smile every single day. Author's note. Straight Flush is a dramatic narrative account based on multiple interviews, numerous sources, and thousands of pages of court documents. In some places, details of settings and descriptions have been changed to protect identities, and certain names, characterizations, and descriptions have been altered to protect privacy. In some instances, I employ the technique of recreated dialogue based on the recollections of interviewees, especially in scenes taking place over a decade ago. Chapter 1. December 19th, 2011. Juan Santa Maria International Airport, San Jose, Costa Rica. 10 minutes before 5 a.m., a gray-on-gray sky was pregnant with the remnants of a passing storm, a thick canopy of clouds marred by occasional daggers of tropical blue and orange, and suddenly, 7 years disintegrated in a flash of reflected sunlight across the spinning glass of a revolving door. Brent Beckley stepped through the threshold of the Central American country's main airport and into the poorly air-conditioned terminal. A little over 6 feet tall, with boyish features, a square jaw, and blondish-brown hair cut short over a wide, boxy forehead, Brent was moving fast, his $500 Italian leather shoes clicking against the shiny linoleum floor. He was wearing a conservative dark blue suit with matching tie. There was a briefcase in his right hand and a heavy winter coat thrown over his left shoulder. Anyone looking his way might have assumed he was just another young, eager expat businessman on his way to an important meeting up north. Business-clad Americans strolling through Santa Maria International were a common sight, symbolic of the expat community that had grown exponentially in the near decade since Brent had first arrived in the tropical country. But the truth was, Brent Beckley was not on his way to a business meeting. In fact, he was quite possibly on his way to a jail cell. And the journey from where he'd started to where he was going was anything but common. He looked calm, cool, collected, shoulders back, head up. But on the inside, he was terrified. He could feel the sweat running down the skin above his spine, and it required all his willpower to keep his knees from buckling, his body moving forward. 10 feet from the blue rope labyrinth that led through to immigration and security, Brent spotted a man strolling determinedly toward him and slowed his gait. At first glance, the man didn't look like a spy. Thin, angular, with narrow cheeks, a sharp triangular nose, long legs lost in the folds of khaki pants, spindly arms jutting out past the cuffs of a white button-down shirt. The man was smiling, having recognized Brent immediately, though the two had never met. Brent tried to smile back, but the fear was playing havoc with the neurons that controlled the muscles of his face. Brent was barely 30 years old, a small-town kid from backwoods Montana, a former frat boy who'd spent most of his adult life working for what he considered to be an internet company. He'd certainly never expected to find himself rendezvousing in a tropical airport with a smiling spy. Then again, the man wasn't necessarily a spy. From what Brent remembered from the letter he'd received the week before, detailing how the meeting would go down, the man's official title was some sort of liaison with the U.S. State Department, based out of the embassy in San Jose. And up close, even despite the sharp contours of his face, he looked much more like a kindly accountant than a menacing secret operative. But if Brent had learned anything over the past 7 years, it was that there were few things in life that were actually black and white. Most things tended to be a mix of both. "Good morning, Mr. Beckley," the man said as he intercepted Brent a few feet from the entrance to the maze of blue rope. "My name is David Foster. It's nice to meet you." Brent shook the man's hand, trying to think of a response. When none was forthcoming, Foster extended his other hand, offering two documents. The first was instantly familiar, Brent's U.S. passport, The same passport he had turned over to the state.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?